This morning, we continue to look at the mission statement of our church, and we have come to the second phrase in it, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, it is good news that Jesus came to rescue us, to redeem us, to save us. That we are to proclaim this good news is incontrovertible. So what if someone came to you and asked you how to become a Christian? What would you say? How would you explain to them how to accept Jesus as your Savior? What would you tell them? The title of today's message is Going Down the Road. For we're going to go down what is known as the Roman Road to Salvation. So I would suggest to you that you take the order of service page and flip it over and jot down these passages. We're going to walk down the road together. We're going to look at the different passages. And if you look up the Roman Road to Salvation online, many answers will come up, and some are slightly different. One we're going to walk through together is from Team Missions International. So today is going down the road. The first step down the road is, I consider myself a good person. Won't that be enough? The first passage is Romans 3:23, where Paul said, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all breathe. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we all do sin. Remember, do not judge or rank sin. There is no one without sin. I sometimes give parents a hard time about the genetic burden that their children bear. But the truth is, we all bear the same nature, the same sin nature because of Adam and Eve. And one of those things that has occurred to me looking at watching kids is you don't have to teach them to disobey. They just kind of know how to do that. Isn't that right? For we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The second passage is Romans 3 verse 10, where Paul said, there is none righteous, not even one. Again, no one is without sin. Now, if you are an NBA fan, you have been watching the playoffs. I'm not, so I haven't, but it's happening. Is there anyone in the National Basketball Association, or is there any one player that played for an NCAA team that made every free throw this past season? It doesn't matter if you're able to make 9 out of 10 or 99 out of 100, there is still that one miss. We are not saved by being good. Some of the time, or even most of the time. We are saved by the blood of Jesus covering and taking away our sin. The next passage I want you to write down is Romans 5:12. Paul said, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Again, this goes back to Eve being deceived and Adam choosing to disobey. Sin entered the world. Death entered the world. And while you may be a better person than I am, you're still not like Jesus, who had no sin. The second step is sin really that big a deal? If it is, what hope is there? Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So yes, sin is a big deal. When's the last time you drove out on the highway? This morning? Yesterday? What does speed limit say? 25? 35? 55? Did you drive 26 miles an hour? 36 miles an hour? If you did, you sinned. You say, well, what's the big deal? Well, it might be a big deal if the highway patrol comes up behind you. It might be a big deal. But Jesus came to give us hope. One morning, I walked over to the Pregnancy Care Center. As I crossed Main Street, I noticed a couple of Jehovah's Witnesses on one side and a somewhat locally infamous person on the other with his big signs. While the infamous person is correct in proclaiming the need for repentance for all of us, both sides were making it too much about them. It's not about us. It's not about how good you are or how good you think you are. It's about Jesus. You cannot earn your way to heaven. It is a free gift that Jesus makes possible. And apart from Jesus, there is no hope. And so that's why the writer of Hebrews talked about what Jesus has done as being the hope set before us. And this hope, he said, that Jesus makes possible acts as an anchor of the soul, because Jesus went not into the earthly temple, but into the heavenly temple to plead our case. He went before the very essence of God, before the very presence of God to represent all of us. There is hope in Christ. Eternal life is the free gift the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus makes possible. There is hope. The third step is, after what I've done to grieve God, how could he possibly willingly die in my place? Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Men, I don't know if you do this, but I look at my wife and I say to her, how in the world did I talk you into marrying me? No amening down here. Now, if she wants to, that's one thing, but not you. Even more amazing is that God loves you enough to die for you, to pay the price for your sin. One thing I have noticed people do is to hold a perverse, twisted pride. It seems they think that their sin is so great, Jesus would not die for them. And even if he did, the death would not pay for their sin. But, you know, to me, that's just a perverse sense of pride. No one's sin is so great that the blood of Jesus does not cover it. No one's. Through the years, I have heard people speculate over what is the unpardonable sin. I think the only unpardonable sin is to say no to Jesus, to say no to the Holy Spirit. Because if you accept Jesus as your Savior, accepting that he willingly died for you, you will be saved. The fourth step is, how can I be saved? Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 say, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Being right with God depends upon faith. Faith in what God has done through Jesus Christ. This faith is expressed in two simple yet profound ways: believing with your heart and confessing with your mouth. The confessing with your mouth part, that Jesus is Lord, is to say as John Newton did, I am a great sinner, but Jesus is a great Savior. To believe that God raised him from the dead is to give credit to God that he can do it, that he can raise him from the dead. Faith that holds to Jesus being who he said he was, God's son, same in essence, different person, faith that he died and was buried, and God raised him from the dead. Confession that submits your will to the will of Christ is as to let him be Lord of your life. Let me tell you, if you don't obey, he's not Lord. Well, I raised my hand at Vacation Bible School. Isn't that enough? Not if there's no heart change. And that's what Paul's talking about here, the heart change that goes on. Confession, we are to submit our will to the will of Christ. Faith that admits he knows best. To call him Lord is to obey him. To counter the teaching and hard work of the Jehovah's Witnesses, one of the references says they teach the atonement is a ransom paid to the God Jehovah by Jesus Christ, which removes the effects of Adam's sin, laying the foundation for a new righteousness and enabling men to save themselves by their good works. You can't do enough good works to save yourself. It is only through Jesus. The fifth step is, did God hear me? Did he accept me? Romans 10, verse 13. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Thankfully, God has perfect hearing. We don't have to shout. We can do it within our heart, within our mind. Lord Jesus, come and save me. Jesus died to pay the penalty for our sins, to rescue us from eternal death. Salvation, forgiveness of sins, is available to anyone who will trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I'm in the middle of a book someone loaned to me to read. It's entitled The Theft of America's Soul. You know of the author, trust me. Let me just say, looks can be deceiving. Phil Robertson of Duck Dynasty fame does not look like or talk like a man who has not only a bachelor's degree, but also a master's degree and taught public school for a good number of years. His life story is quite a story. Phil came to Christ, for the gospel, the good news of Jesus, was the answer he needed. In his words, it was the solution to my disorienting drunkenness, my promiscuity, my search for freedom. Whoever calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. The sixth step is, what do I do now? Romans 10, verse 17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. I would argue all of the Bible is the word of Christ, not just the New Testament, and not just the words written in red ink. And this is where making disciples comes into the picture. When Jesus said, go and make disciples, this definitely does involve teaching new converts the Bible and old converts. And this is why studying the Bible is important for everyone. And this is how, because this is how their faith grows. In Matthew 28, Jesus was pretty general in scope in saying, teach all the nations. In Acts, he broke it down a bit. In your hometown, in your general area, in all the world. We're to be a part of proclaiming the good news here and around the world. When we give our tithe, a tenth of all our increase, which is God's tithe, a percentage goes both to the local association and a percentage goes to the state and national and international efforts. And it goes around the world. We also give other offerings so that others can go and proclaim the gospel and teach God's word. Next month, we're going to be having a meal for missions. The money we give then will not come out of our tithe. It will be money we did not spend in other ways. Because we want, as a couple, we want others to hear the word of Christ. I want to challenge you this morning. I want to encourage you to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and all that he makes possible with someone this week. You have family, you have friends, you have acquaintances who do not know Jesus as their Savior. and they need to hear this good news. Or maybe you're hearing this good news for the first time, and you know you need Jesus to come into your life and take control of your life. Are you willing to come to Him in confession, in repentance? Confessing your sin, agreeing with Him that the thoughts, the actions, and the inactions are not pleasing to Him. Are you willing to turn your back from being the decider of right and wrong in your life and let Him decide right and wrong? Are you willing to turn from being the leader of your life and become a follower of His? I want to close with a statement John Piper makes in Desiring God. He said, "It is astonishing to me that so many people try to define true Christianity in terms of decisions and not affections. Not that decisions are unessential. The problem is that they require so little transformation to achieve. They are evidence of no true work of God in the heart. People can make decisions about the truth of God while their hearts are far from Him. I don't want you to decide about Jesus. I want you and others to fall in love with Him. I'm challenging you to make one of two commitments. If you do already know Jesus as your Savior, tell others about Him. Pray for people by name. Will you make that commitment to pray for them? To share with them? And this morning, if you do not know Him as your Savior, would you come to Him and accept Him as your Savior? Those are the decisions.